really happen on that day. His blood shows us. We follow it carefully and notice how God put all the different events, and we'll go through them today. How the wonderful resurrection Sunday was all those who were involved in that day. And there were a lot involved. Jesus came into the world for a purpose, and that was to preach the gospel. But it took him 30 years before he stepped into the pulpit. Strange, isn't it? We said last time, when he was only 12, he knew that God was his father. And yet, he waited until he was 30 years of age to begin the gospel, and he did that just for 3 years. And today we're involved in just collecting together right across the world. He is risen. So let's start on the evening of Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, and said, "It is finished." He died. That seems most likely. It wasn't the disciples who came to Pilate seeking advice from him and seeking permission to take Jesus from the cross. But who was it? A most unlikely people that would come. Joseph Arimathea and the honorable council. He was the honorable council of the city of Jerusalem, and Nicodemus, a Pharisee. They were the ones that came to take Jesus down off the cross, because they were really secret followers of Jesus all the time. Jesus was taken and placed in Joseph's tomb, and the stone, of course, was rolled away. Very important, wasn't it? The end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn. Before the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the sepulchre. Guess what? It was empty. It was empty. So we're going to get the proof of that by reading from the scriptures, and I'll read that from Matthew chapter 28. If you've got a Bible, you can follow Matthew 28 verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at the first day of the week, was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled the stone back and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you.'" If the reading seemed a little bit different to you today, I've taken it from another Bible scriptures that I've given. And it was a little bit different for me, and I thought it was simple, easy, and plain. And so I brought that into scriptures today. Now, while all this was happening, Mary Magdalene was standing outside the tomb. You've heard the story before. She was there, and she was weeping. Weeping in that she had lost this one. Mary Magdalene, of course, the other Mary. They followed Jesus everywhere. And they were the sisters, of course, of Lazarus, that raised from the dead. And so there was a deep love in there. I'll already read it again from scriptures, from John chapter 20 and verses 11 to 18. Just not a lot of verses. But Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken my Lord away, and I know not why, where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, if you have taken him, tell me where you have laid him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she knew immediately who he was and replied. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she returned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," this to say much. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things with her. I don't know whether you ever look into the Bible when you read these statements, and you try to figure out how a dead man can talk, and how he can come down off the cross in that shape. We know he was lifted down, we know he was put in the tomb, but we don't know how he disappeared. We don't know where he went, because he hadn't been back to the Father when he vanished. Some, of course, saw him on the outside. But I want to take you back in the story a little bit, right back to when Jesus went to the cross. If we're not going back to that day and that hour when Jesus was crucified, let's look at the events that we don't always think about. They're different. To help us to understand why there was great fear came over the city, because of the things that were happening on that day when Jesus said, "It is finished." So what was happening in Jerusalem? Okay, those that were around and were near, they, you know, people went in and out of the temple all the time. That was part of it. But when they rent this sign, that beautiful veil had been ripped from top to bottom. And all around the city, the graves were open. And all these dead people were walking around the city. You ever thought about it? Because Jesus said that it is finished. The whole of Jerusalem turned into corruption. They had no idea what was going on. Dead people were walking around, going here and there. All these tombs that had been opened up, and so many people going to and fro. And then in Matthew 27:52, people of the city and even Christ's followers were all hiding. They'd all gone into the hallway so that no one could find them. Those that thought they might have been followers of Jesus went into hiding. You know, the disciples did the very same thing, didn't they? I could wonder why they were so confused. They have the same little things to us, but when you start to think about it, these people that have been buried by loved ones were suddenly up and walking around. We've got another little surprise for these people. And in Luke 24:13-32, we have this story. And we are told of two men that decided that they were going down to Emmaus. And I think you've all know the story. These two guys wandering along, they've seen the crucifixion, they were troubled, and now they were going down to Emmaus, to a place where they obviously lived or visited there from time to time. One of them was called Cleopas, the other we do not know who his name was. But as they traveled, having a walk, just someone suddenly came along and entered into the groups, and three of them were walking along the road. And this, of course, asked Jesus what they thought of the day and what was happening around them. And it was seen to these two men that Jesus didn't know anything about it. That Jesus made simple talk with them as they walked along. And yet Jesus had just come from the cross. and walking along side by side. I don't know how you feel about it, but these two men didn't know him. Now we notice this right through scripture in these different events. Mary didn't know him. Had he not called her name, she wouldn't have known at all. Now we've got two men that are walking with him side by side. They didn't ask to see his hands or his feet or side, but just walked gently along. He meant nothing to these two men, but rather strange that he didn't know anything about what was happening. They should have known about Jesus. When they reached their destination, the home of the two men, they invited Jesus in. Jesus comes in, sits with them, they eat their meal, and everything is going along fine. And Jesus picks up the loaf of bread, breaks it, and disappears. Now, to me, I read these scriptures and I look at them, and I stop. We know that Jesus was, but when he was on earth, he never did that. He never did that before. He never did that in front of the disciples. But now it was a different Jesus. He was different. He had been back to heaven and he was changed. And we know as we keep on reading here that he actually walked straight through the walls. He walked into the rooms wherever they went. And immediately after the trip, you know, these two men suddenly thought, we know who that was. Only Jesus breaks bread that way. Whether that was it or not, we don't know, but God revealed to them, this was Jesus. And immediately their eyes were opened and the understanding became. And they were so overjoyed, they already got their evening meal. They run only 14 kilometers, so it's not a long way. But they hurried back to tell the disciples. And I don't know what they thought. Mary came and told them that he'd spoken to her, she'd seen him, he wasn't in the tomb, yet she saw him in the garden, spoke to her. Now you've got these two guys. Arrived back at this crowded house, got all locked all the way around, just about breaking in to get inside, and told the disciples, he is risen. He felt dead, he's not, he's alive, and we saw him. We talked with him, and we watched him break bread. Just when they thought everything was safe, suddenly Jesus comes through the walls and stands before them. There's amazing stories. I look at the Bible and I like to see these things happening. I mean, I don't like to see it strangely happening, but I want to understand that we knew who Jesus was. But Jesus was still a man, and he was still a person. We don't know how, but now he was different. He was there, they could touch him, and he could walk straight through. Well, we know he could touch him because right here in the scriptures it says that he said to them, here's my hand. Put your finger in the wound, into my side. So he was real, and yet he could walk through the walls. So Jesus appeared to them again, saying, peace, peace be unto you. So let's read in the scriptures from chapter 28 of John again. When it was evening on the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together, and the doors were locked, for they feared the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And having said this, he showed his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Friends, that's a tremendous command. Jesus took that as the first command that he gave to his disciples after the resurrection. He'd been teaching them for 3 long years about going forth. But right here, in this place, after showing his hand, he said, peace be unto you. Father has sent me, so send me to you. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In other words, if you ask them or teach them about forgiveness and they accept forgiveness from God for them, then you retain that as a soul saved. But if not, you leave them as they are. Thomas was not there on that occasion, the Bible tells us, one of the 12. He was not there. So another disciple were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." He said to them, If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the marks of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, the disciples were gathered together, indoor again, locked up. Thomas was there. And even through the door, even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them. And Thomas was there. "Put your finger in my hands," Jesus said. "Reach out and touch my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen me and yet believe." One of the most wonderful things about this day of resurrection, most wonderful things that we can ever find and believe, is the eternal life that he has brought to us today. He is risen, indeed, he is risen. And today we have that privilege, we have that opportunity to be able to accept him, not only as a risen Saviour, but as our Lord and Saviour, and walk with him. That's one of the things that I love about the Christian faith, is that he walks with us. Wherever we go, he is there. I just repeat it time and time again. He never leaves me and he never forsakes me. How about you? Do you feel the same way about this Lord, about the Saviour Jesus Christ? If he could leave heaven and come down and spend 33 years on this earth, and as I said a few days ago, even at 12 years of age, he knew God, he probably knew you. Even at 12, because he was God, manifesting in the flesh. We don't fully understand that. We don't fully understand that the same Jesus has never changed. He will never change. And though he is here in spirit today, he has the same power. He has the same anointing. He has the same hearing. He has the same eyes to see our lives. He knows all about us. He knows where we go. He knows what we do. We are in his name. I'm just blessed, and I'm sure you are too, that this same Jesus that rose 2,000 years ago from the grave, and today he is alive, and alive forevermore. Father, we give you thanks today that you have come. You're here with us today. You spent time with us today. You will go with us as we go. Lord, we pray that our hearts may be in tune with you throughout the finish of this Easter time, that we might come into a new week to believe and to receive of the goodness of God, and allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, that we might be able to hear those words that you spoke to the disciples, "So sent I you," that we might take the opportunity to share the good news with others, the loved ones, and those that we meet along the way. So Father, bless your people real good, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ryan's going to come, and he's going to lead us in a wonderful song, "To God Be the Glory."